I'm going to invite you to stand with me one more time, if you would, please, as we read this passage. And we stand, if you're able, in reverence to the reading of this God's Word this morning. There's a passage in verse 9 that I want us to focus on. And it says, "For a great door and effectual is opened unto me, and there are many adversaries," Paul writes. A great door's open, a door and effectual is open unto me, and there are many adversaries. I want to speak to you on this subject this morning, entitled "The Old and the New." Let us pray. Father, thank you for the Word of God, and Lord, just the Spirit we feel in this place today, and as we end this last Sunday of the year together as a church, we thank you as we reflect back on this past year and the blessings that have come our way as a church family. And Lord, we thank you for the new families that have been added and the souls that have been saved. And God, and we thank you that for those who see fit to be involved, to help advance the kingdom of God, not to receive glory for themselves, but God, to give you all the glory and praise. And Lord, as we look at this passage this morning, may we apply it as you would have us to apply it in our own lives. And God, truly, as we've prayed already, if there's someone on this last Sunday of this year, God, that's here, that's unsaved, that they would determine not to go into another hour, another day without inviting you in their life. We thank you for the privilege you've allowed us together in your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. You know, as we do end the year of 2019, you know, we cannot help but reflect on the past and really to consider what God has done for us. There's no doubt that He has blessed us tremendously. We've heard a few testimonies that kindly let us know of some of the blessings that some have faced this year. And by the way, I'm sure if we all took time, we could probably come up with things that we could probably take the whole hour. I wouldn't even have to preach and hear what God has done. Now, we could also, if I ask you to stand up and say, was there some rough times this year? That would be another whole hour or more. But yet, there's no doubt that God has blessed us tremendously. Would you agree with that? God has. There have been some sad times, but there have been many joyous times as well in each of our lives. I would say that have been changed in some way this past year. God is, we reflect on our church, God has blessed our church with some wonderful families that I thank God for that He's added into our church this year. We've seen people come to trust Christ. Radin's one, but there's been others who have trusted Christ this year and followed the Lord in believers' baptism. That's always a wonderful thing. You know, it's good to look back and really consider the past, especially in situations like this. We can learn from our mistakes. And also, we can rejoice in the victories, right? However, let me say, we should not dwell on the past when we're faced with the prospect of a brand new year. You know, this next year, 2020, hard to believe, isn't it? It's just a few days away. And I'd like to say that really, a good way to kind of look at going into a new year would be kind of like what the children of Israel were looking at when they were getting ready to cross into the promised land. Something that we're not sure about, obviously. We don't know what a day is going to hold. There are going to be blessings. There's going to be hardships. But like the children of Israel, may we enter a new year with the determination that I'm going to be a conqueror for Christ. and to do great things for God. If that is our goal, and obviously with God as the source who gives us that strength to carry on from day to day, then we can be victorious even through the bad times. But we must enter in as conquerors. And as I've said, our theme for this year going into it is to be bound together. Much of what we've been able to do, even accomplish this year as a church, is we've done it together. We've been bound together to help advance the kingdom of Christ. We've been all in for Christ. And you know, when we think along those lines, that's really what the church ought to be like, right? That's why we're still around, by the way. I know there's times we think, well, it'd be great just to go on to heaven. But you know what? God's not finished with us yet. There'll be a time where, yes, we may face that. The trumpet may sound. That'd be fine if it happened today. But until then, we have to know that God wants us to go into this New Year's with the attitude, young and old alike, to be determined that I'm going to be a conqueror for Christ. I'm going to, as a church family, we're going to be bound together. And I want to really get you to think with me for a moment about what the new year means to each of us as we look at our passage. What does the new year mean? A lot of people are going to be reflecting on that in the next few days. By the way, I went in the store yesterday, me and my wife. Of all places, we went to Walmart. Believe me, I don't like shopping at Walmart. My wife would tell you, I immediately get in a bad attitude when I walk in the door. But anyway, we go in there. And this has nothing to do with my message, just a side note. But we go into Walmart, and I had two things I wanted to get. Quickly, just get it, let's go. My wife went with me. It was coffee and some little, those ice drinks. I like those little ice drinks. We went into Walmart. What do you think happened when we walked down the aisle, walked down the store? What do you think we saw? All red. Valentine. I'm thinking Valentine. It's not even, Christmas is not over yet. But anyway, that's just, that I shared with you my attitude. It just changed immediately. Let's get out of here. I said, let's go. I like Valentine, but I'm not ready for it yet. I've been eating all this candy the last few days. I sure don't want to think about more candy. But also it made me think, well, there's a new year coming. Here people are planning for the new year. And that's really, I realize why people in business, retail, and why they do things. Obviously, they're already ahead of the game. They're trying to get us thinking along the same way. But yet, we don't know whether we're going to be here. But yet we should plan and live life as though that we will be. You know, yes, God could take us out of here. We need to be ready to meet the Lord, but we need to accept the fact that God wants us to carry on and be conquerors for Christ. But think with me for a moment about what the new year means to each of us. Two things we're going to give you in a way of thinking in this way. Should the Lord tarry His coming, think with me, first of all, it means unlimited opportunities. That's the first thing. Should the Lord tarry His coming, it means unlimited opportunities. Go back to our text, and Paul says in the first part of this verse, he says, "For a great door ineffectual is opened unto me." Now, when you see that, great door is ineffectual, is open. It speaks of the door of opportunity that awaits us, Paul is saying. There's a door of opportunity that awaits. And we need to look at it in the same way. As the children of Israel, again, were getting ready to cross into the promised land, they don't want to carry the past into the promised land. Obviously, they just had been wandering. And by the way, many of them didn't even get to cross over. Moses did not get to cross over into the promised land. Many of their relatives died. But for those that God used to carry over into the promised land, they didn't want to carry some of the baggage that's going to slow them down from being a conqueror for God. There's a lot of lessons that we can learn from that particular passage in Scripture, especially as we go into a new year. As we go into a new year, like Paul is saying, this passage, there's a great door and effectual. It's open unto me. As we look at 2020, we need to look at it with the attitude. There can be, if we let it, be some great opportunities, some doors of opportunity that God opens, and we need to expect that. What are they? Well, we need to expect that there will be opportunities for change. There will be opportunities for change. For those who are unsaved, there will be opportunities for salvation, right? Now, today is the day of salvation. Let's get saved today. Don't put it off. But listen, if God tarries and you're still around, then you have that opportunity. That's the greatest change, right, that any of us have faced and that are believers, and that is we've accepted Christ in our heart. And for those who are unbelievers, some of us have family members that we want to see saved, right? As we go into the new year, there will be opportunities for change. Maybe that loved one, that friend, that person that we care deeply about will trust Christ. Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 5:17, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ," generically, any man or woman be in Christ, "he is a new creature, a creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." That's what happens whenever we give our heart and life to Christ. Jesus said in Revelation 3:20, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and sup with him, and he with me," Jesus said. So if you're here this morning, and yes, there may be someone like that, and you have not opened your heart's door to Jesus, you still have the opportunity to do so. There is the opportunity for change to come for the unsaved. May we not get in our comfort zone, kind of like the children of Israel that did not pass over in the promised land, and really forget to pray for our loved ones and our friends that are unsaved that need Jesus. We can get content, and as is easy to do, with our own salvation, when really, I really believe the reason why we're still around is not to enjoy another Christmas. It's not to enjoy the holidays. All that is fine and well. I love all that. But I honestly believe the reason we're still around is because God sees us as vessels that can be used in His service to help advance the kingdom of God. So there can be not only opportunity for change for the unsaved, but there is the opportunity for change for the saved as well. We haven't reached a plateau that we think, well, I've made it, and you know what? I really can't grow any stronger in my walk with God, or I can't be more holy or whatever. Listen, that's pride if that's the case. Paul was constantly striving to be better in when it comes to advancing the kingdom of God. As we see that in Paul's writings. He was content, but he was not content to say, "Hey, I've made it." None of us have made it to the point to where we think that we can't advance in the kingdom of God. We can't grow closer to God. We can't strive to be used of God in some aspect of ministry. We haven't made it. Some of us maybe haven't even started to grow in our walk with God yet. You know, there's a place that we get to when we get saved, where you get saved and then hopefully the next step is you find yourself starting to grow in your walk with the Lord. You find yourself developing over a period of time from being that babe in Christ to being that one who develops over time. But sadly, some Christians, they never get out of that baby stage. They maintain, they're comfortable with that baby stage of constantly having somebody to pamper them and to pull them along and to carry them along, when really that ought not be the case. It ought to be that as we have the opportunity to grow in God, we'll see changes that takes place in our Christian life as believers. That we the old things that we used to love and do, we realize, hey, that's not good for me anymore. And there are some things as we go into the new year, you might have to just determine, hey, I don't want to carry that in the new year. I don't want to be that to drag me down spiritually. I don't want it to be something that interferes with my walk with God or my service for God. You see, it means unlimited opportunities. There will be opportunities if we allow to make some changes. And then there will be opportunity for challenges that we'll be faced with. There are unlimited opportunities for challenges. Just living life is a challenge, is it not? If you're a parent, raising teenagers is a challenge. I'm out of that right now. But I have grandkids. It won't be long, they'll be teenagers. Now, I don't know what that's like as grandparents yet. I don't know being a grandparent having teenagers. But I know having teenagers, our kids are a blessing, aren't they? Even teenagers are a blessing, but they go through some tough times. They go through adolescent years. And mom and dad go through it with them, and boy, they're ready to pull their hair out. That's why maybe some of us don't have as much hair as we have. But you know what? We love them through it. We love them through it. Because they're faced with some challenges that we, especially in today's time, that we may not be able to relate to. And that's one aspect of living life. That's a challenge. Just being a parent is a challenge. But there are other challenges, you know, working in today's time and dealing with health issues. A lot of things that come at us as a challenge. Every one of us, no matter what our age may be, have set goals in life, I'm sure. Some have been attained while others are still out there to reach. You're still working toward reaching toward those goals. But as a pastor, may I offer some spiritual goals for each of us? These are some goals that I have to set for myself, not just because I'm going into the new year, but really I have to remind myself of these goals daily because the flesh gets in the way. But as we go into the new year, some simple little goals. Let me just say this from a pastor's perspective as I challenge you. You know, this morning, set some goals to get into God's Word more this year. In other words, to read the Scriptures on a daily basis. And I'm not just challenging our adults, but our young people as well. I would honestly say, and I can look back and say this now, and I wouldn't have said it as a young person, but what has changed my life is reading the Scriptures. Getting into God's Word, finding out what God's Word says, not taking it all just because the preacher preaches to me. It's great to show up on Sunday morning. I appreciate you being here and listening to me preach. But you know what? Don't depend on getting your Bible reading from the preacher or the Sunday school teacher. I want to challenge you this year to get in God's Word. I read the other day that if you read, the average person reads so many words per minute, and I won't go into all that. But if you read 10 minutes a day, for some, they can read all the way through the Bible in a year's time. 10 minutes a day. For some, it may take 20 minutes. Now, it's great to be able to read the Bible through, yes. For some, if you're not reading it, start somewhere. Get into God's Word. I challenge you to read the Scriptures. Set it out, put it on a calendar or set a schedule and do that and determine, listen, I challenge yourself that, listen, I'm going to do that. So the opportunities there are there. There's some changes that we can make. There are the opportunities that for challenges that we're going to face. Another challenge is being faithful to all of the services of the church. And when I say all, I realize that there's nothing in Scripture says you have to be here on Sunday night or Wednesday night. Okay? But that's still no excuse to say, I've had people say, well, preacher, it doesn't say anywhere in the Bible I have to be there Sunday night or Wednesday night. No, it doesn't. Now, I feel like the Lord's Day is the day of worship, Sunday. Okay? But I sure love the opportunities that every time we have together. You say, well, preacher, we pay you to be here. No, nobody's going to pay me to come to church. I promise you that. Nobody's going to pay me to preach. Nobody's going to do that. I take offense when somebody says that because, listen, I'm a believer. I'm a Christian. I'm going to be in church, whether I'm paid or not. Now, thank God for His blessings and being a pastor. You know, it has its challenges, but our responsibility as Christians is to be faithful to the house of God. And it's more than just being faithful to the services. We grow spiritually when we're in the house of God. I do. Now, I have to hear myself preach sometimes. But I get an advance on it in the fact that I get to preach to myself several times before I get up and preach to you. These messages that I preach, listen, there's times I may come in here on a midweek and I'll get up here and preach sometimes. Yes, I do that sometimes. There's nobody's here. But, well, there are. I look out and I see a couple hundred people here. You know, I may walk around in my office and listen, God, and some of the best messages I think I've ever preached has been to myself. Now, I say that because we all need to be challenged when it comes to being involved in the house of God, to be involved when it comes to the preaching of God's Word. We grow spiritually, don't we? I know I do. Wednesday, listen, we come out. I love being in Wednesday night service. Our prayer Bible studies time, having a time of growing the Lord and the fellowshipping. Our kids that we have that are involved in Awana and Sunday school, listen, as parents, that child is developing their personality. We know at least up until 5 years of age. And we begin to lose some of our kids when they get, as we know, in their teen years. That's why sometimes we have to kind of motivate them to push them to church. But you know what? Testimony after testimony of kids who've gotten out of church in their early years have said, listen, I'm thankful that mom and dad, boy, they made me go to church. Although I didn't want to do it, but they made me go to church because that helped me later in life. I read also that the decline in church attendance is consistent with societal trends. What do you mean? Well, we're finding that there's a big drop-off. This past year of 2019, or this year of 2019, there's been a big drop-off in church attendance. And by the way, it's been like that for several years, but this past year was a big drop-off. And they say it's due to society's trends that are taking place. The decline of church attendance is also due to an increasing proportion of Americans with no religious preference. You think that's going to get any better? No. Sadly, we're finding that that's going to continue, especially with this younger generation that we see that has no one helping direct them to the house of God. But also, sadly, it's due to the fact there's no planting of the gospel seed as we should be. I think that's probably the number one reason. So there are opportunities that come with change or challenges. Another challenge is by developing effectual witness for others. We're challenged in that way, right? We need to be effectual witnesses wherever we go for the cause of Christ, to plant that gospel seed wherever we go. We need to resolve to faithful tithing of our local church and giving faithfully to the ministry, not because the church needs it, God doesn't need our monies, but God uses our tithes and our offerings as a way to help advance the kingdom of God. And also, we by faith, we give to the Lord, and He obviously, as He's taught us in Scriptures, He honors our giving. He does. And then we know there will be opportunities for our church. I've alluded to some of these things already, but as we face a new year, we have an opportunity to make a banner year in our church for the cause of Christ. We have the opportunity to expand our ministries. What do you mean by expanding? As I challenged our men this morning in prayer time, it'd be great to see that our church grows to a point this year, especially in some of our Sunday school classes. We have to create new Sunday school classes. That also may mean we might have to build a new building. We're kind of out of space. But listen, that's a good problem if we have to have that problem, right? But yet if we don't set goals and we don't face the challenges before us, and there are opportunities that God gives Fountain City Baptist Church. This church is almost 50 years old. And boy, as I look back, I haven't been here all those 50 years. I've been here for 30 of those years. But listen, this church has faced some wonderful changes at times and challenges. But you know what? There's still opportunities for this church to see God bless. I don't believe that God's finished with Fountain City Baptist Church by any means. We have to look at it. There's ways that God wants us to minister. I remember when we started our WANA ministry, that was something different, new in our church. But it was new. It was different. But look at the kids we're reaching on Wednesday nights that don't even come to church. Praise God for that. You know, that yes, our numbers have dropped off because a lot of churches now have a WANA. We were like the second church in town that had a WANA at the time we started. And boy, there was times we got close to 100 kids. That's a lot to handle. Can you imagine? But what I love about it, I run into some kids that are no longer kids but are adults now in our community. And they'll come up to you, hey, Pastor Rick, and I don't even know who they are. Because these are kids that are only, they've been dropped off on Wednesday night, and I may have seen them as a kid, but boy, they're grown up as an adult. I said, well, who are you? Oh, I used to go to your church. What do you mean you used to go to your church? Well, I used to go to Awana. And boy, they would name their WANA leaders and so forth and tell me all the things they used to do. And before they'd leave, say, thank you for the WANA ministry. You know, little things like that where we can make an impact. We sometimes don't realize it when we're involved in doing it and some of those that work in it. But we live in a time when we have the opportunity to reach more people with the gospel. We really do. I've talked about how church attendance is dropping off. That just because church attendance is dropping off doesn't mean that we don't have the opportunity to reach more people. There are millions of people in the U.S. that have not heard the gospel. But yet we have the greatest way today to reach the gospel than we've ever had. I mean, the new technology we have today in reaching folks. I have my Bible on my iPhone. And sometimes I don't have my Bible in my pocket, but boy, I've got my iPhone. And I'll pull out my app, Bible app, and if I'm witnessing to somebody, it's always great to open it up and share Scripture, or whether I'm in the hospital or whatever. Technology. So weirdly, you say, well, preacher, I don't have my Bible with me. Oh, listen, who doesn't have a cell phone? Maybe not everybody has one. I wish you'd get on my school bus sometime. I have the quietest bus, I think, in Autauga County. Kids get on my bus. First thing they do, they pull that phone out. You know what? These kids today, young people that are here, you're taking your Bible in the school. I mean, it's right there on your app. Download it if you don't have it. Let God, because you know what? You're going to have a teenager that maybe God comes in your path that you're going to need to witness to. They're going through some difficulties that maybe they're not able to share with adults, but boy, they'll share it with you because you're their, one of their peers. Listen, take time to share the Word of God with that teenager that and witness to them. Somebody did that with you. I mean, I remember when I took my Bible to school, I mean, I realized there were times I was criticized for that. I went to private high school. I take it with me sometimes in school, and I realized I didn't like being made fun of. But now, and I wasn't ashamed of it. Wouldn't be today, by the way. Nothing wrong with taking your Bible to school. But now we're really without excuse, especially when if you have one of these phones that you can download it. Listen, share the gospel. We have the opportunity to reach people with the gospel more than any other time that we live in, I believe. We have the opportunity to reach families who have needs that no one else will be able to meet. As I've said, the church plays an important role in helping families stay together, to help families go through the trials that they face. The church has that role. The church helps to provide that spiritual stability in helping parents in raising their children. That's why I advocate, listen, don't miss church. Make it a part of your, not just your Sunday worship, but midweek service. Let me ask you, what will you do with the opportunities that God presents you in this coming year? The old and the new. Well, it means unlimited opportunities. Second point, I told you there's two points. Second point, this coming year, it means that there will be obstacles. I wish I could leave that out. But you know what? We can't talk about opportunities without knowing we're going to face some obstacles, right? We go back to our text in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 9. Paul says, For a great door and effectual is open unto me. And then he says, and there are many adversaries. You know, there are going to be some obstacles. Let's face it. We'll be faced with problems to solve. If not already. Maybe there's still some they're trying to solve and the year hadn't even ended yet. The question is this, will we choose to face our problems or will we choose like many will try to do and run from them? I've learned you can hide maybe for a little while from your problems, but they'll usually, you have to face up. Will we act in accordance though with Scripture? Oh, listen, Satan don't want us to hear about that. You see, when we're faced with problems to solve, then it's important, rather than running from the problem, what does God's words say concerning problems or maybe that particular problem you're dealing with? How does God have us to react when it comes to facing our problems? We can face them with Scripture or we can face them in the flesh. You know, Satan would have us to go against God's Word. I have no doubt about that. And Satan would have us to do what the world does. Solve your problems the way everybody else solves their problems. But you know what? You look around the world today, if we did that, we'll never get our problems solved, right? But Satan says, look how your friends are doing it. Satan says, look how your neighbor's done it. And yeah, it may give you a Band-Aid. Sometimes we go to the doctor and, boy, the doctor doesn't give us the remedy we want. And so we'll go out here and sometimes just doctor ourselves. When maybe we might have to just find another doctor. Because, you know, I realize that doctors don't know everything. But maybe you have an issue that you're dealing with. It may take somebody that has a little more knowledge in some areas. Rather than put a Band-Aid on it and rather try to do it the way the world says do it. Listen, that's the way Satan is when it comes to God. We find ourselves, if not careful, questioning the very Word of God. That's what Satan would have us to do today. rather than follow what Scripture says in dealing with our problems and to solve them, Satan causes us to question God's Word. Which, by the way, God's Word is the authority that we should live our lives by. Who are we to question the Word of God when God has all the answers that we need wrapped up right here in this book? Now, it may not come to us at the moment that we want, but rather than go out here and react in the way the flesh says do, in some people's case they said, well, just get out of church. Satan will like to say, "Is going to church isn't doing you any good. Quit reading the Bible. It's not really getting you anywhere." Now those are Satan's way of solving problems that obviously to pull us away from God. But you know, the obstacles we face are not only to solve problems, but this year we will have to overcome barriers. We'll have problems, but also there's going to be some barriers. The first barrier I think that we have to know that we're going to face, and this is often on a daily basis, it will be our lack of faith. You ever find that sometimes you have to just to lean on the Lord a little bit more? To make your faith stronger. Not that you have to get saved. I'm glad I don't have to get saved every time I sin, aren't you? Boy, I'm thankful for that. But I do know something. My faith is often challenged, especially when I face a barrier that maybe I haven't faced. And there may be some barriers that you're going to face in that obstacle this year. And by the way, the greatest barrier to doing something of value for the Lord is ourselves. We have to get beyond ourselves and our lack of faith in God. Another barrier to overcome is the attitude of others. Have you noticed that? Often when you're faced with barriers and you find yourself down a little bit and your faith is not as strong as it needs to be, Satan likes to bring somebody along that can discourage you a little bit more. And sadly, sometimes that's maybe somebody you go to church with. Maybe they didn't mean to do it, but yet sometimes we find ourselves, we'll find our little niche that where we can run with, and yes, even gossip. But there's always someone around to tell us that it can't be done. But I've learned that with God, all things are possible. Go to Romans chapter 8 with me. Romans chapter 8. Look with me, if you would, in verse 28. Romans 8, 28, and it says, "And we know that all things..." What does all mean to God? All. "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God." Do you love God today? So I would assume this passage is including those who love God. Now, to love God means you got to know Him. Can't love God without knowing Him. Got to know Him as your personal Savior. That's another message. "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose." That's often where we mess up, right? We're not willing to follow through with God. But let's read on. "For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate," or call, "to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called, and whom He called, them He also justified, and whom He justified, them He also glorified." Verse 31, "What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, and who can be against us? He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. That's important to note, right? That God is right on our side, making intercession for us. What shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution, what's it going to take? Is it going to take famine or nakedness or peril, or means danger or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted, that is, we're regarded as sheep for the slaughter. But nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. We look into 2020, are we going to be conquerors for Christ? We can be. He says in verse 38, for I am persuaded, that is, I'm convinced, that neither death nor life nor angels. Now the angels there is speaking of the fallen angels, meaning demons, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor death, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. There are going to be adversaries we face when we face these barriers, much like we see Paul was making reference to here in Romans. There was a crowd that seemed to block the way of this paralytic man in Mark chapter 2. You remember the story there in Mark chapter 2? The man's friends, what did they do for him? The Bible says in the passage in Mark chapter 2, this paralyzed man, that they found him and they overcame the barrier to get his friend to Christ. How'd they do that? Well, the scripture says that they got him to Jesus by removing the roof. They cut a hole in the roof. The Bible says that when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the man that was paralyzed, what did he say? He says, son, thy sins are forgiven. They knew this man wanted to get to Jesus. By the way, I didn't see where this man prayed a prayer. All right, nothing wrong with praying a prayer. But God already knew his heart. He wanted Jesus. And they got him to Jesus. And that's why Jesus looked at the man and says, your sins have been forgiven. Isn't that great? To know when you invite Jesus in your heart, I don't have to run around this building 100 times to prove myself. I don't have to put a certain amount of money in the offering plate. Listen, I don't even have to be in church, but it's not a bad place to be to accept Jesus. But listen, all I have to do is repent of my sins and by faith invite Him into my heart and life to be my Savior. Our greatest barrier as believers is our lack of faith. It's our lack of faith. Well, we'll be faced with tragedies. Not only will we be faced with problems to solve, we'll be faced with barriers, but thirdly there, we'll be faced with another obstacle, which is a tragedy, maybe. I could leave this out, but listen, we know that's part of what we may be faced with. Loved ones are going to go into eternity. Maybe this year. We need to be praying for three girls in Geneva, or three families in Geneva. Is it Geneva? Geneva, Alabama. I mentioned this to our men. Christmas Day, three teenagers were out, probably just enjoying time together. I think there's like five in the car. But three teenage girls were tragically killed in a car wreck. I think the oldest was maybe 17. They're having a funeral at 3 o'clock today for one of the girls. All of them, I think, were cheerleaders. My heart went out when I read that. I can't imagine the pain, but you know what? We need to be praying for those families. That's the reason why I really bring it up, because that's a those are tragedies. I can't imagine that, going through that personally, but yet there are families that are going through hurts, and it's, hopefully none of us will be faced with anything like that this year, but yet we have to know that with the obstacles that we face. There are going to be problems to solve, which we can make it through. There'll be barriers that we can overcome, but tragedies are difficult. Who are you going to lean on during that time? Perhaps some of us here may not even see another year. We have to be faced with that, right? That's why every day we live our life to the fullest for the Lord Jesus Christ. Even teenagers that are here, listen, I have remind myself, especially when I've spoke to teenagers in chapel services before, listen, we're not exempt just because we're young. We need to live life to the fullest for the Lord. Let God use you while you can be used, because as we've seen an example of these three teenage girls, their mom and dad, their families are hurting today, and they're going to get through it with God's help and God's grace. They'll make it through it, but yet, obviously, they're going to have to lean on God. And we all have to face the fact that, yes, death is going to come knocking at our door. We need to live our life to the fullest as we face another year. The world may plunge into another crisis. Yes, it may happen. The world may find we're in trouble in a few months or a few years. But is there reason to be discouraged by the prospect of tragedy and problems? Some people are afraid to get out of their house sometimes because, you know, I don't want to be faced with the world. But you know what? We're in the world. Now, just because we're in the world doesn't mean that we're to be of the world. But we have to realize that the old means we don't live in the past. The new means we face forward with opportunities that are going to come our way, but also to expect, yes, there are going to be some obstacles. Problems? Oh, I can handle that. Barriers? But tragedies is going to be sometimes the test of an individual or families. But you know what? As a Christian, I like what Romans 8:37 says. It says, nay, in all these things we are more than what? Conquerors through Him that loved us. We're more than conquerors. These families that are faced with tragedies, those that know Christ, they'll be able to make it through because they're more than conquerors through Christ. God loves us. He says He'll never put more on us than what we can handle. This coming year means that we will have both opportunities and we're going to have obstacles to face, but we will not have to face them alone. Praise God for that. We have a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Perhaps He'll return in this coming year. Wouldn't that take care of any tragedies we face? That may happen. And if you're not ready to meet the Lord, though, that would be a great tragedy. What a glorious thought that is, though, as a Christian. 2020 may be the year of the coming of the Lord. It may be. We need to be prepared. Jesus may tarry His coming. Let me ask you, will the goals that you set be realized? Will they? I mean, you may have your friends right now, but listen, if you're living life for your friends, then listen, that's not a very good goal. But if you're living life for Jesus, then God will take care of your friends. Matter of fact, you'll find if you live your life for Jesus, God will bring you the kind of friends that you really need. We have to determine if we're going to make an impact for Christ. The choice is ours. Let's determine to be bound together as a church this coming year to help the kingdom of God be advanced. By the way, for those of you who have yet to accept Christ, you have the opportunity to still do so. Don't resist His grace. Don't reject His mercy.